Good morning, New Life Fellowship. It is a great privilege to be here this morning. My wife and I are so glad to be here with you again. Thank you so much for having us. Happy Father's Day to all the fathers, especially our Heavenly Father. This day is about our earthly dads, but it's really about Him. New Life Fellowship, isn't it amazing that we have been adopted into God's family and that He is our Father? Isn't that an amazing thing? Can't we rejoice in that today? May we do that. So if you could turn to Colossians, we're actually going to be focusing on verses 15 through 20. 21 through 23 we'll get to next time I'm here. Colossians 1, 15 through 20. If you were to use a scale of importance, a scale where you could take the things of your life and weigh them out to see how important they would be, what are some of the things in life that would rank in your life as greatest importance? They would weigh out to be the best. Maybe on that scale, your family, of course, weighs at the highest importance. Maybe it's your job. Financial success could weigh in as one of the things that's greatest importance. Great achievements, health, entertainment, education. You think of these things, and there's more, right? But did you know, dear believer, that none of these things rank as important? That's right. I said that none of these things rank as important. Here's the catch. None of these things rank as important when compared to the importance of Jesus Christ. In life, we give superior rank to various people or items or activities. But the reality is, there is only one superior and greatest person that cannot be put on a ranking scale with anyone or anything. That is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ breaks the scale of importance that we might have in our life of priorities. He is the supreme God, the center of everything. And without Him, life ceases to exist, both physically and spiritually. Let me ask you something, dear believer at New Life Fellowship. Do you believe that Jesus Christ is supreme, that He is the greatest over all things, that He is best? If so, if you believe that, then shouldn't He be supreme in your life? This morning, I want us to grasp that as Christians, we call ourselves Christians, right? Christ must be first in our lives because He is supreme over all things. As Christians, Christ must be first in our lives because He is supreme over all things. So, little context here. Last time, we talked about how the Apostle Paul began Colossians by giving thanks to God for the Colossians' faith, their faith in the gospel, what God was doing through the gospel among them. And then he began to pray for them to be filled with the knowledge of His will, to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. Paul seems to go on in his prayer by exhorting the Colossians to give joyful thanks unto God for their salvation. He's praying, but it doesn't seem like the prayer actually ends there. The apostle begins to focus in on who Christ is in His authority over all things in the form of a hymn. The text we're going to look at today, dear believers, actually we believe to be a hymn that was actually sung by the early church. There's some parallelism in the hymn today, and it's a hymn about Jesus Christ. This morning, we will see four reasons why Christ is supreme over all things. And the first is that he is the firstborn. He is the firstborn. Let's look down at verse 15. It says here that he, referring to Christ, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. The apostle here says that he's the image of the invisible God. Means that God physically reveals himself through his Son, Jesus Christ. The word image there is the word we get from icon. Jesus Christ is the representation of God. In John's Gospel, in John 14, when he's with Philip, remember when Philip asked him to show them the Father and it would suffice? What did Jesus say? Have I been with you so long and yet you have not known me, Philip? So this is who Christ is. But we see here that he's the firstborn over all creation. He's the firstborn. What does that word mean, firstborn? Well, some take it to mean a very wrong thing. Some actually believe that this means that Christ was the first created being, that he is part of creation. But that is not correct. That's heresy. That's very wrong. This word firstborn has to do with superiority, not the order of the created. In other words, you could say that the firstborn here means first rank. Christ, the Messiah, is first rank over all creation. He's not created, he is God. He's first rank over all of creation. This word firstborn appears in other places in the scriptures. The apostle in Romans chapter 8 describes Jesus as the firstborn among many brethren, that being of the believers in Christ. He's first rank over all. No other creation is equal. He is God. So Christ is the firstborn. But second, he is the creator. He is the creator. Look down with me at verse 16 through 17. For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things consist. Dear believer, Jesus Christ, he is the creator of all things. Paul here says that he's the creator of all things that are in heaven, that are on earth, visible and invisible. What's he talking about there? Well, he's referring to Christ being the creator over those things that are heavenly and those things that are earthly. You could look at it as the spiritual beings and the earthly beings. But not only that is he the creator of them, he is the creator over and of thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. These refer to the earthly powers of mankind and the spiritual powers and dominions, those of angelic beings. Christ is the creator of them all. He is the creator over all of them. In John's gospel, when John is talking about Jesus Christ, what does he say about him? He says, all things were made through him, and without him, nothing was made that was made. As creator here, he is the sustainer of all things as well. Verse 17, and he is before all things, and in him all things consist. Christ is before all things, meaning that Christ has existed forever. He has no beginning. He is God. Since the foundations of the world were laid, He's existed forever. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He is the eternal Christ. And everything consists by Him. The word consists there has the idea of things holding together. In other words, the whole universe, all of creation, dear believer in Jesus Christ, is held together by Christ Himself. Have any of you ever played Jenga? Jenga? Come on, I've got to see some hands here. Okay. So for those of you who don't know, it is a game where you have a bunch of rectangular wooden pieces you stack on each other. And the goal is to dismantle the tower of Jenga blocks one wooden block at a time without the whole stack falling down. The hard part is that there is always that one Jenga block that seems to be holding the weight of the whole tower. If that one moves, the whole thing is coming down, right? Now that is a little game and is not worthy to be compared with what we're talking about. But in a much greater way, Christ holds all of creation together by His power. You remove Him, dear believer, you remove everything. Everything. It's all in Him, dear believer. So Christ is the firstborn. He is the creator. And third, He is the head. Look down at verse 18. And He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He may have the preeminence. Christ is the head. Well, what does that mean? Well, it says here, He's the head of the body, the church. The head here refers to the authority. Christ is the main authority over the church, the body of believers in Jesus Christ. It's what it's referring to here. This imagery here that the apostle uses of the head and the body, as you've probably read in other places, is common. In Ephesians chapter 1, Paul refers to Jesus Christ and says, "And He put all things under His feet and gave Him to be head over all things to the church." Christ is the head. He is the authority over the body. What's next after the head of the body of the church? He says, "Who is the beginning?" This refers to Christ literally being the beginning of the church, of the body of Christ. You remove Christ, you have no church body. You have no church. He is the head. He's the beginning of the church. And He's the firstborn from the dead. There's that word again, firstborn. We just talked about that. Another way you could think of that is first rank, superior. He's the firstborn from the dead. What in the world? Dear believer in Jesus Christ, He is the resurrected Savior, the superior Savior. That's who Jesus Christ is. The gospel that we say we know, and we know it by heart, and we say we understand, then He went to the cross. He died and He was buried for our sins. And what happened? He rose again. He was the first, dear believer, to rise again as the conqueror of sin and death. He is the Savior of the world. That is who He is. It says, from the dead, He's the firstborn. This implies that there's others. Jesus Christ is the Savior. And all of those who are Christians who have died, guess what? Because He resurrected, because He lives, we will also be resurrected. This mortality must put on immortality. And the saying will come to pass that says, O death, where is your sting? O grave, where is your victory? That is because of Jesus Christ, dear believer. Do you believe that? He is the first resurrected from the dead, Savior, God, Lord. We will too. Then it says here that in all things he may have the preeminence. That in some things he may have the preeminence. Does that sound right? Something's wrong with that. That in all things, he may have the preeminence. What does the word preeminence mean? We don't use that very often, right? Have you used preeminence lately in your conversations? Probably not. It's such an important word. It literally means to be first. To be first. Christ is to be first. He is first in all things over the church as Savior from the dead. So, he is the firstborn. He is the creator. He is the head. Finally, he is the reconciler. He is the reconciler. Amen. Amen, dear believer. Verse 19 through 20. Referring to Christ still, Paul transitions. He begins to talk about the work of Christ. For it pleased the Father that in him all the fullness should dwell, and by him to reconcile all things to himself, by him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross. He's the reconciler. Do you know something, dear believer? It pleased the Father. The Father, you know, it's Father's Day, talking about the Heavenly Father here. It pleased Father God that in his Son all the fullness should dwell. What is the fullness? He's talking about here the fullness of God, the fullness of deity. Later on in Colossians chapter 2, Paul refers, and Lord willing, we'll get there, refers to Christ and says, for in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead, bodily. He is the God reconciler. Because Christ is supreme over all things, as we've been seeing, he's top over everything, as firstborn, creator, head, he can reconcile all things back to himself. He has the power to do that. No other person is superior enough to reconcile men and women back to God. What does reconcile mean? To bring something, what was in perfect fellowship and relation with God, but now has been broken by sin, by our rebellion. It's to bring us back into fellowship with God, to reconcile us, to bridge us back together. No one else could do that. He's superior. He's the superior, supreme reconciler. Because he is God. In him the fullness dwells of God. Notice everything to reconcile back to himself. Things on earth, things in heaven, angelic, physical, humanity, all of it, the creation, to bring it back. How did he do that? Having made peace through the blood of his cross. I hope we don't scan over that very quickly, dear believer, as we read the scriptures. How was this done? There had to be peace made between us and God. You were at enmity with him, right? An enemy, we were. Only Christ's cross could bring us back to peace with him. We could be reconciled. Only by his work there at Calvary, the hill that stood an old rugged cross at, right? Jesus said, many of us know this verse, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. No one can come to the Father God, be reconciled back to him, except through Christ Jesus. He's the only way. He's the only one that can do that. Nothing else, dear believer in Jesus Christ. Your works won't do it. Your hours of Bible reading won't do it. Your time of prayer won't do it. He, Christ. This reconciliation is much more than the typical falling out between two friends that leads to recovering a friendship with an apology and a hug, right? It's reconciling the sin-cursed creation, tainted by sin, back to God by Christ's sacrifice. So what about us? We know this truth now. We're responsible to do something with it. Ever since the beginning, created beings, we're part of creation here that Christ is over, have sought to be supreme over the Creator. You think of Eve, right? Back in Genesis chapter 3, Satan says, for God knows that in the day you eat of it, the fruit that was forbidden, your eyes will be open and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. She had the desire to be like God, to be superior, to be supreme. Adam and Eve sinned. Death fell upon all men. Satan, in Matthew chapter 4, when he takes Christ up onto the pinnacle, shows him all the lands, and he says, all these things I will give you if you fall down and worship me. He's telling this to the Creator. Think of the unrighteous in Romans. Paul references them as those who exchange the truth of God for the lie. What's the lie? They worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. That's not right. Something is wrong there. Worshiping themselves, the creature, rather than the Creator. What about your life? Is Christ supreme, top, first rank in your heart and life? Or do you seek to let other things, we let other things and ourselves be first before him? What's our lives look like? You know, one way we can make Christ supreme in our hearts and lives, Jesus said in Matthew 22, he said, talking about the greatest commandment, you know what that is? You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment of God, is to put him before everything, to love him with our all. But how can we apply that verse? What about in our job, our jobs? Is Christ supreme? Is he first in your job life, your profession? Paul says later in Colossians, talking to servants and masters, he says to the servants, whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men. Why are we working? Why do we do our jobs? Is it for ourselves or for others? Or is it unto God who gives us the life to do it? Is Christ supreme in your home? What does your home life look like? Could you say that Christ is first superior in your home? In Deuteronomy chapter 6, Moses is telling the Israelites about the commandments of God, and he says, "You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up." What are we supposed to do with the truth of God? It's supposed to be first in our lives. We're supposed to be seeking to obey it. Follow Him. His things first. Him first. What does our home life look like? What about our private time? Is Christ supreme in our private time as believers? Is it filled up with stuff that we want to do? Our activities? It's all about us? It's our things first and first and first and first? Or do you take time to know God and His truth? This isn't rocket science, dear believer, for us. Do you abide in Christ? Do you remain in Him? You call Him Savior. We do. Is He your Lord? John chapter 8, Jesus says, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed." Abiding in Him as the main, the superior in our lives. Is Christ supreme here at New Life Fellowship? Is Christ first rank here? And what we're all doing here? Why do we meet? Do we meet in America, in our churches, to please ourselves or Christ? What are we a part of? We're a part of a body that was bought with a price. In Ephesians, the apostle says, "There is one body, one spirit, just as you were called in, one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father over all, who is above all and through all and in you all." New Life Fellowship, do you believe that? Do you? Do we believe this in our gatherings? If it's not for Christ, it's not worth meeting. He is our faith. May we remember and live out the reality that Christ is supreme over all things. We looked at that. And this includes every area of our lives as Christians. It does, dear believer. This isn't a game. So what's weighing in on your scale of priority? What's weighing in as greatest? Be honest with ourselves. Do you know that our scales of priority, greatness, they don't matter when compared to Christ? Yes, family's important. Yes, activities and different things are great. But when compared to our Savior, what in the world? They can't be. All glory, all worship, all priority, all holiness, all time, all possessions, all thrones, all creation is Christ. His greatness and glory can't be weighed. We can't give Him a slot of time of our day and call it good. Whether we choose to put Christ first in our lives or not, He remains God over all. But may Christ be supreme over all our priorities. And by His power in us, we're not alone, may we continue to live to His glory, the rest of our days. He is worth everything. Believer, we end with this. I'm telling you, tell ourselves, it will be worth it all when we see Jesus. When we see him, life's trials and suffering, they will be forgotten. It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. When you stand before him, he's worth it. He's worth it to live radically for, to give all your time to. He's worth it. It's not rocket science. Let's get back to the basics of the gospel. Right? The Word of God. So, Christ must be first in our lives because he is supreme over all things. He is the firstborn. He is the creator. He is the head. He is the reconciler. If any of you are here today, you don't know Jesus Christ. You have not trusted in him alone to be your Savior, to save you from your sin, to be the Lord of your life. I encourage you to make today the day, to trust in him fully, to be your Savior and to live for him. He will give you new life in him. Let's pray. Father, it is a little daunting to be up here and proclaiming the truth, because it is true. Lord, we know that you are supreme in all of these things in life, all of these titles. But yet, Lord, we so often worship ourselves, worship other things. But Lord, as Christians, we are called to love you with all of our heart, soul, mind, strength. Lord, here at New Life Fellowship, us believers here and abroad, Lord, awaken us in this nation. Awaken us who call ourselves Christians, and we are by your grace, but may we live like it and put you first. That is your rightful place, O God. May it be in our hearts. Lord, we give you all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray it. You be glorified. You be first. Amen.